Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. I am Mark Ellis, joined as always by my co-host Jacqueline Coley. We got a great guest in studio today, and we are in Los Angeles. It doesn't feel like Los Angeles.
It does not. It's quite depressing. What did you say? I moved to LA, not to Seattle.
Yeah, I feel like I should get like a bump off my rent or something. This is not why I moved to California. It's doom and gloom every morning I wake up now.
This is different for me because we're filming this the week that everyone comes back. And like, if you saw my Instagram story in that time, I definitely talked about it's like back to life, back to reality. It just like whips you up inside the face. But when it's rainy like this, I go to sleep with this rain.
Yeah.
This is how I actually go to bed every night, like, because I'm a damaged individual. I have to listen to rain sounds to make it to where, you know, the monsters don't keep me awake.
I like the little rolling thunder that I get on my sound machine, yeah. But now I'm doing ocean waves.
So wait a minute. So right now with this rain that we have like as just normal, which is a rarity in California, right. I just want to sleep all day. So everyone's like, giddy up. Like, I've lost all ambition. Like, you're like, do you want to rule the world? No.
No.
I just want to take a nap.
I just want to sleep. I want to eat soup. And
and
to be honest, it's why we're doing this episode today. I want to watch horror movies.
Fair.
And we have a great horror movie that we're going to be talking about. It's a little controversial on the tomato meter, which is, again, why we love doing this show. We're talking about Bride of Chucky, and we have a very special guest with us. And it's the one, the only, one-third of the world girls and their empire. She's an incredible host. She's an incredible producer behind the scenes. It's Darina Arellano. Hello, Darina.
Hola, hola. How's everybody doing? Happy to be here in the flesh.
It's the first time I've seen you. Not first time I've seen you in person. We've seen each other at like movie premieres and stuff, but this is like the first time it's like with a microphone as you were meant to be.
Yeah.
I just love seeing you in your element, like, in person.
Same. Because it's not the same when you go to the parties and the premieres. Everybody's, you know, like, I'm so glad that the three of us actually enjoy sitting in our couches and watching movies instead of going to those things
back
way more.
We do see each other there, but it's like when we see each other, it's like we don't want to be here. Nobody really, like, we want to be here because we want to be here, but we don't want to be out of our house. Like, anything outside of the house, no matter how cool it is, it has to be this cool, basically, to make either one of us want to put on pants.
I think that's why we're all lucky, is because we work in movies somewhat in this industry. And so one of the perks of that is like, yeah, you go to like some parties and stuff and you get to go to a premiere, maybe get a free drink afterwards. But you also have a 2 to 2.5 hour window where all the lights are going down.
Yes.
And you're not supposed to talk to anybody else because there's a movie playing.
Love that.
And there's a movie coming out this weekend called Megan that I think kind of relates to the film we're talking about today, which once again is Bride of Chucky. 47% rotten on both the tomato meter and the audience score metric. So a rare tie there. And this is obviously in the lineage of Child's Play, where you had 1988 blessing us with everyone's favorite little murderous puppet, Chucky. I guess he's not a puppet. He's like a My Buddy.
He's a My Buddy, but I mean,
how dare you?
He's
guys.
A marionette. He's a marionette because he does speak. Like, the idea that it can be a doll that has any kind of
voice.
But
he's got no strings to hold him down.
He doesn't have any strings to hold him down, but I mean, he still speaks. Like, what do you call a talking doll?
An icon. Chucky is an icon. I don't know what you guys are talking about, all calling him a puppet.
Seriously, let's clip that out.
That was perfect.
That was so
Why
clutch.
Is Chucky such an icon, Rina?
Because there's nobody like him. Who else does? I mean, look, when the commercials for My Buddy came out in the 80s and I was a kid, they freaked me out.
Me too.
So much. I'm like, why would I want to hang out with that little guy? I didn't like the song. I just did not. It creeped me out. And then I see Chucky for the first time, Child's Play, in the 80s. And I'm like, this is exactly what I imagined my buddy being, right? So this I've always also been freaked out by dolls. So Chucky actually represents the truth about how creepy dolls are.
See, I have not. So, like, I was a Barbie girl, like, with the dream house, with everything. Longer than people, I tell this story now, but I played with Barbies until I was, like, 13, 14. Like, there were girls that were like, oh, I just want to, like, get behind the bleachers.
Let me do some math here. That's like, freshman year high school stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
I still,
so good because for you. So happy you own that.
I did own it. You know why? Because I lived in a land of make-believe, and I had entire soap opera level seasons with these people. You can't just let that go because all of a sudden you're like, you know, body gets weird. This was investment, okay?
I feel like playing with Barbies in high school is actually, the Barbies themselves have much more, like, the landscape for what Barbies can get into now that you're in high school and you're having all these feelings in yourself. It leads to a lot of adventures with Barbie and Skipper probably stays home.
All of this was just reasons for me to, like, be a burgeoning writer. Like, Kit, like, ran away from home. Like, there was a whole issue with Ken not wanting to get a job.
Oh,
there was,
wow.
like, a whole, like, this is, like, soap opera. I was basically putting Days of Our Lives storylines on this. And now I remember at 14, I finally got rid of my Barbie dream house. And, like, they had, like, rooms. And, like, I was, like, giving them all storylines to be like, well, last week, this is what happened.
Wow. In case you missed Jacqueline's bedroom last week. Well, you know, it's interesting that you're putting your Barbies into relationships. Like, my sister used to have them date G.I. Joe. And it would,
whereas I used to burn them.
Match up okay. Yeah. Some people would go in the woods and light stuff on fire. I did my share of that as well. But Bride of Chucky gives us this sort of romantic relationship that we get with Chucky's bride, who is voiced by the wonderful Jennifer Tilly. And so there's a lot to get to with this movie. We're going to disseminate all this stuff. Chucky has been a favorite here at Rotten Tomatoes because he's always the subject of some video we're doing. I had the pleasure of doing a Versus episode where it was Chucky versus Leprechaun. And I think Annabelle's been in the mix there too. So we kind of love just these like tiny little things that you should love or that should inspire children, like a doll or like a fun leprechaun that you see on the Lucky Charms box. And they end up being great fodder for horror movies. So we're going to be talking about some other Child's Play stuff, focusing on Bride of Chucky, which I saw for the first time last night.
First time.
Ooh.
Pop that old cherry and very excited about doing so. Jacqueline, if you would, please give us just a little tiny synopsis as to what Bride of Chucky is about.
Yes, I will give you the synopsis of Bride of Chucky. I also want to add, I actually last saw this movie when Mark did the video for Chucky versus Leprechaun. It literally was so great. It had me like going back to watch it and like get caught up on it. Yes. Okay. So Bride of Chucky, in case the title doesn't give it away, if Chucky is our Frankenstein, this is the part where we assemble his bride. This is Timpani Valentine. This is a former lover of the actual guy who is in sort of embodied into the Chucky doll. She dies and we, of course, have to go into our Frankenstein type thing. The best part about this one is it's voiced by Jennifer Tilly, and just picture her sort of like doll-like features being portrayed into this and you get a good idea of it. Of course, through, you know, Chucky going through all of the things he's trying to do to make her come alive. Sometimes they are working, sometimes they're not. Eventually, he does get her to come alive. And then, surprise, surprise, she doesn't want to have anything to do with him at first, just as you would expect. But they sort of team up, go through more adventures. And in the end, we do get our eventual going down the aisle, Bride of Chucky. And this best part of this one also is that the Chucky is also reanimated because this is also the Chucky where we get to see him with the very scarred, awful face. I think I hit the major points on this one.
Yeah, his face kind of looks like a baseball.
He looks like a baseball.
Pretty cool.
And again, voiced by Brad Dourif. Again, a fine love in a hopeless place, horror comedy rom-com. I will give it to you. This is not a horror movie, kids. This is a love story for the ages.
Yeah.
Very true. Beautifully done.
It is. And we have all the horror movies from Blumhouse, which is putting out Megan. That's also one of the editorials right now on RottenTomatoes.com. So y'all can go check that out. Darina, the question here is simple. And it's also the name of the show. Is Rotten Tomatoes wrong about Bride of Chucky, which is 47% rotten?
I love this company and I love the employees that work for it, but it's just wrong so many times, Mark. So wrong. I mean, it's lower than Rise of Skywalker, which is
an insult. You texted me this and I'm not, or you responded to a tweet And you brought Star Wars
into
this.
What is Star Wars Rise of Skywalker? There were 40,
like, I think it's in the 50s.
Something.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, so it's actually one of the few rotten ones.
Should be fresh, but...
Yeah, the prequels are mostly fresh.
Another day.
You...
Yeah,
love you Rise of Skywalker.
Traitor.
What do you mean traitor?
He loves all of it.
No, he doesn't.
Well, he doesn't specifically love all of Star Wars.
There's some Star Wars that I think could be rotten, but Rise of Skywalker ain't it, baby.
That's what I was just about to say. I was like, no. He falls in the JJ camp.
The only part that was not rotten was Babu Freak. But anyways, the opening sequence of this movie is one of the most fun and horror iconic moments, I think, in any horror franchise. The fact that Jennifer Tilly, we get to watch her rebuild Chucky to like Rob Zombie's Living Dead girl.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, she's I think this is the scene where she's actually reading Voodoo for Dummies.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's just such a great scene. And I think that's why everybody has that song on their Halloween playlist.
I was so happy to see Rob Zombie being on the soundtrack. You get a little bit of White Zombie in there, too. Before we get into the movie talk, Jacqueline, you are on the same train as Darina. Is Rotten Tomatoes wrong about Bride of Chucky?
It's a little wrong. It's a little wrong.
Okay.
But come on. This is another one of those where you have a movie where I always have a movie that I like to compare other movies to. And when it comes to the rotten around in the 40-year mark, I always bring this up. Anyone listening to this podcast knows this. Constantine is my watermark. If that movie could not get a fair shake, I cannot give it to your bloody rom-com. And I forgot that. That's right. The best part about this story is they both literally bring each other to life. First, mm-hmm. Jennifer Tilly bringing Chucky to life, reanimated, stitching him up, but then also him bringing her to life as she has basically, you know, doomed herself due to her bringing him to life. It's this whole idea of them coming together.
Yes.
And we also get a young Katherine Heigl in this movie.
Yes, we do get.
Yeah.
Not as young as Wish Upon a Star, which is my favorite Katherine Heigl performance. If you don't know, that was a Disney movie from back in the day where she does a body swap with whatever. But yeah, I meant to mention this about Bride of Chucky. It is a corpse, you know, like a bride of Frankenstein meets Bonnie and Clyde meets every breakup, the breakup with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
And then it comes together with this like amazing Jennifer Lopez, Hugh Grant style, like I love you in spite of yourself rom-com. Like this movie has it all. And then it's bloody and terrifying all the way through.
So a little bit of Natural Born Killers in
there
too.
A little bit of Natural Born Killers.
That's very good.
That was the Bonnie and Clyde part that I'm talking about too. But no, definitely more Natural Born Killers. As a much after, like Bonnie and Clyde were saintly compared to what these two go on their rampage. But what I was just going to say is it's still not going to be that great. So I could see maybe getting it to 50.
Okay, but it's not fresh.
But it's not fresh. And so I really just think it should stay where it is because it's already higher than Constantine. That was my point.
Now, do you think it should be any of the Chucky movies would be fresh?
Well, the first one is, isn't it? Or no?
It is. The first one is.
I think it should be because that's the best one.
Yes, the first one is. And I do believe that one earns its place. Let's just think. I've seen Bride of Chucky. I've seen Child's Play 1 and 2. I have not seen Seed of Chucky. And I think I'm poor for it. And I've definitely not seen Child's Play.
Okay. I want to see Seed of Chucky now after seeing this again for the first time.
True.
So I'm going to say Rotten Tomatoes is wrong about Bride of Chucky.
Wow.
I think this is a fresh movie, mainly because of the comedic elements here that they lean into, that they know it's campy. They know what they're getting after. And it's sort of reinvigorating a franchise and really a genre that I think desperately needed it. And it's no accident that there's a very overt nod to Bride of Frankenstein, which I will say, by the way, the 1935 classic. Probably better than the original Frankenstein, 98% certified fresh on the tomato meter. So I'm not saying Bride of Chucky's that good, but I think it does deserve to be fresh.
Completely agree, Mark. I'm so glad, especially because you just watched it for the first time. But what you just said, it's like Scream before it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously, they took inspiration from what Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson did.
Yeah.
Because it's complete. It's obviously very self-aware that
also,
it's a parody.
Also, the opening scene. It's a different type of scene, but it's still your opening heroine dying scene. It's the same type of like Drew Barrymore type scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a great way to get you into the movie, and a great way to get you into this podcast is our buddy Tim Ryan, who is our expert review curation manager here. I know we're excited. We want to jump into Bride of Chucky. But
I know,
first,
we really do.
We give 2 minutes with Tim its run. He's our review curation guy. He compiles all the reviews, looks at all the stuff, and he's going to tell us what the critics were saying at the time of Bride of Chucky's release on the heels of Kevin Williamson's Scream. Tim, take it away.
2 minutes with Tim. The most venerable horror movie franchises usually start out the same way. There's a terrifying antagonist who is the embodiment of a primal human fear. It could be Jason Voorhees as a stand-in for our fear of the woods. It could be Freddy Krueger, who we covered in a previous episode, as the manifestation of our subconscious. Or it could be Chucky, a malevolent entity in a seemingly innocent package. Once said boogeyman catches on with the public, however, there's a decent chance that they shift from antagonist to protagonist. And, in other words, more campiness in catchphrases, less personification of dread. That's not necessarily a bad thing, at least for fans of the character, but it's also not necessarily a recipe for critical success. And though some critics found Bride of Chucky to have some decent scares and a satirical self-awareness about its status as yet another entry in a horror franchise, others felt it wasn't scary enough or funny enough to stand on its own. Bride of Chucky is rotten at 47% on the tomato meter with 38 reviews, and it has a 47% audience score. So what did the critics have to say? In a rotten review, Lawrence Van Gelder of the New York Times wrote, "The novelty of a bloody horror film built around a malevolent doll carrying the soul of a serial killer has worn thin." However, in a fresh review, Anthony Aquirk of the UK's Independent on Sunday wrote, "Bride of Chucky is easily the best of the four-film Chucky franchise, and it's a barmy, witty horror movie full of scream-like ironies." The Rotten Tomatoes critics' consensus reads, "Bride of Chucky is devoid of any fright, and the franchise has become tiresomely self-periodic, although horror fans might find some pleasure in this fourth entry's camp factor." So that's Bride of Chucky. Let's kick it back to Jacqueline and Mark, your friends till the end.
And you are my buddy, Tim. Oh, yeah. Remember the female version of my buddy was
big sister,
hey.
Kid sister.
Also creepy.
And my
also
buddy, creepy. Kid sister, arguably even creepier. That I don't know. I it's hard to get creepier than my buddy. I would stick with a Teddy Ruxpin, and even that you can make pretty dark and demented if you put a Black Sabbath tape in instead of the tape that Teddy Ruxpin was supposed to be playing. You can have fun with that at home. Right now, we're going to transition into movie talk. I love hearing the stories of when people saw movies for the first time. And for some reason, I love the horror movies the most when we have these kind of conversations. Because I got to see this last night, turned all the lights off, me and the dog, popped a big thing of popcorn, loved me some Bride of Chucky. Jacqueline, you saw it a few years ago, most recently, I guess.
Like, recently-ish is when I first, I think, saw it. Obviously, I knew what the, it's not a movie that hides its plot. Let's be very clear here. I knew what I was getting into. But yeah, it was after that, I think I just like, you know, popped in some voodoo codes that, you know, we get here, or Fandango codes. And I was like, oh, let me like watch this one. And I watched it pretty quickly. But the first Chucky I saw on cable. I didn't see it in the theaters, obviously. I was way too young. But when I did finally see it, it was on cable. And even on cable, I was like, this should not be on TV. This is disturbing.
That's why you're the best part of this show. I kind of tread water and you're the star because you bring up even better points like that. So, Darina, before I ask you when you saw Bride of Chucky, what was your first experience with the Child's Play franchise?
Yeah.
Well, as Mark knows, I grew up in Mexico. And in Mexico, the difference is that you actually get to see movies in network TV that are not meant for network TV in America. And so Child's Play played during the day. Dubbed in Spanish. Right?
Nice.
So I saw that as a kid, and I was the weird, messed up kid that I was. I wanted to keep watching it even though that I was super scared. And my grandma's like, "What are you watching?" I'm like, "It's just a movie about dolls."
Yeah.
It's fine.
It is a good movie to kind of pull the wool over the parents' eyes because they don't really know. They just see like a toy and it's like, "Yeah, no, it's a kid's movie. Don't worry about it."
Yeah.
Do you think parents pay attention if they don't have other siblings ratting on them? Because like you grew up with siblings. Like for me, my parents didn't know what I was watching because they would have to be sitting there watching it with me to know. Whereas I feel like it's only when you have siblings do they say, you shouldn't be watching this.
I just spent the last 2 weeks with my sister and her family, my brother and his family. Parents don't know anything. They're not paying attention to anything these kids are doing.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
not because they're bad parents, because they're so tired.
They don't sleep.
No, they don't sleep. They're just barely trying to figure out what to have for dinner tonight. They have no idea.
You're all superheroes.
That's what I was just, I mean, I just wanted to say, like, legitimately, you're like, I was thinking about it. It's like, I should not have been watching this. You probably, your grandma shouldn't be watching this. Did anybody know?
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I feel like the thing with Child's Play, and I can't recall like sitting down and watching Child's Play start to finish. I'm sure my sister and I caught it on USA Up All Night, hosted by the late, great Gilbert Gottfried,
yes.
Where he's like playing mini golf with three models and then he cuts to the movie.
Up All Night.
I think I probably caught it there somewhere.
Yep.
But I feel like Chucky was the more, I don't know, digestible sort of horror movie villain. If you're a parent, you're like, I think I'd rather have them watch a Child's Play than a Freddy Krueger
or a Hellraiser
adjacent, a Michael Myers, that kind of thing. Even though the kid's imagination can take the Chucky thing and run with it because you have stuff in your room that probably looks like Chucky or resembles the Chuckiness of it. But if you look at Bride of Chucky, I came across that as an adult. And so, like, I'm ready to have fun with this. And I think that this movie coming out in 1998, which is a decade after the first Child's Play, I think that every kid like you, Darina, who saw Chucky when you were probably too young to meet Chucky, and you probably all of us, then we're adults now. And we kind of have a sense of humor about this.
Yep.
Movies like Scream certainly helped. We see Bride of Chucky. I think it came along at the exact right time. Did you see this in the theaters?
Yes.
Or did you?
Also, I was actually in high school still in Mexico. And so I saw La Novia de Chucky. That's what it was titled down there. And I was about 16. So I was the perfect age to receive the campy horror because I was such a huge fan of the Scream franchise. And I do want to say a shout out. I know Team America is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But that was not the first puppet sex scene.
No. No, it was not.
Right.
Yeah, it was Bride of Chucky. I think it was not the first. There was also animated sex scenes that had come out before then.
And watching the puppets get it on and how they're making light of it. Like, again, this movie is funny throughout. There's a comedic thread that does not stop. I about stood up and scared the dog. I was so excited to see John Ritter's name
in
the cast. John Ritter, an all-time great sitcom actor. And he's just so great with physical comedy. He doesn't get to do a lot of that here because he's the bad chief of police who's trying to keep Katherine Heigl's character, Jade, from being with this other dude, played by Nick Stabile, I think. And it's like, okay, so they have the... Jade and Jesse are the two characters who are sort of looking to escape town. But then you also have Chucky and his now bride, who has become his bride because they kind of pulled the switch on each other. And now they're both stuck in puppets.
They're both two couples fighting.
Yeah.
What did they call it? Two couples at war? What do they call that?
It's a heartbreaking thing in this movie, Darina, because you really feel like in a different world. Chucky and his betrothed could really hang out with Jesse and Jade and like go on a nice double date and really get along pretty well.
Yeah, but that's not what happens in the Chucky franchise.
No, it tends to go bad pretty quick. What's one of your favorite standout scenes of this movie? Is it the Is it the puppet sex?
You know, that's a great one. But no, the ending is one of my favorite scenes in a horror movie ever because it's so ridiculous and surprising, and I don't think you see it coming.
We can talk about it.
Can we?
We'll put the spoiler alert out there for the end of Bride of Chucky, where we think that we finally have Chucky's underground and we got him taken care of. The bride has just been burned to a crisp. There's no way that she's getting out of this, but then something happens with Tiffany where she starts screaming, and I think, oh, she's coming back to life. It's a lot more than that.
Yes, life found a way into the puppet vagina. And a little seed of Chucky came out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And it's, you know, it's a little puppet fetus covered in blood with teeth that's about to attack the cop. It's amazing. Yeah. And that's how it ends.
And that's how it is. And it sets up the sequel, which was, of course, the, I was like, what do you mean? I was like, oh, the sequel setup. I thought, I was like, what did I miss? And I was like,
yes. Yeah, Seed of Chucky, which I just checked is 34%, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes. So it kept getting worse. But you know what's funny? Bride of Chucky is, I think, only the fifth highest rated Child's Play movie. The TV show is like 91%.
Yes, the TV show does really well. Yeah,
but both the Child's Play is the one where Mark Hamill provided the voice that came out a couple of years ago. And then the original, 1988, those are both fresh. I think Child's Play 2 is fresh.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of freshness with this franchise. Curse of Chucky, I think, might be the highest rated Child's Play movie on the tomato meter.
Wow, really?
Curse of Chucky is 75% fresh from 2013. Cult of Chucky is 78% fresh.
There's a
lot of freshness with this movie.
Hey, listen, I am not going to doubt the power of Chucky. It gets better innings than Leprechaun, and I defend the Leprechaun franchise a ton. I really do. Yeah. Thank you, Versus, again, for showing your knowledge on this subject. I really do appreciate it.
It's really all thanks to our expert researcher, Mark Hoffmeyer. I can't take most of the credit for Versus.
I just wanted to add, too, with Bride of Chucky, that it came out in 1998. This was a movie of the MTV generation. Mm-hmm. I think people need to, like, also remember this. I remember this all over the MTV Movie Awards. I remember this being, like, definitely a movie that you saw in TRL. It felt, again, like your point, people that maybe saw it when they were 7 or 8, they were 18, 20, definitely a part of that generation watching it now as a movie. I think that definitely, like, they picked the right time to come back.
Completely,
and,
yes.
And, like, that metal sort of goth marriage where you have, like, you could see Marilyn Manson's popularity on the rise just watching this movie. But I also think that the genius about this movie is that if it took itself more seriously, we would be asking ourselves a lot of questions like, so wait, are there blood and guts and reproductive organs inside these puppets? Because there's a scene where Chucky gets stabbed and then he's bleeding out the back. And it's like, but you're a toy. So how does this? But the movie doesn't care to answer those questions. It's just taking us for a ride. And the movie knows what it is. And I like when art is confident enough to be like, this is what I am. I don't care about what I'm not. I'm just going to have fun with this. And it sets up our human characters so well. And one of my favorite scenes where we're going to the dance. Mm-hmm. And it's the beginning of the movie. And this nice kid shows up to take Katherine Heigl's character, Jade, to some dance. And you got to go through the dad, or in this case, the uncle, who is John Ritter, who happens to be the chief of police. Okay. They don't get along. John Ritter and Katherine Heigl don't get along. They have a weird relationship. So he thinks that, oh, this guy's taking her out. But he's the chief of police. He's wiser than this. He knows that this is just the friend who is not interested because he's gay. And so Katherine Heigl actually is going to the dance with Jesse. The chief of police pulls them over and is like, I caught you in the act. And so we instantly know John Ritter's going to get his comeuppance. And we don't know what's going to happen with this couple, but they're going to probably make a run for it.
Yep.
And Jennifer Tilly's character, Tiffany, gives them the perfect reason to do so, because we got to get this amulet so that we can get these two. I just love explaining this movie. I feel like I'm explaining this movie to, like, my mom or something, and she's already, like, checked out. But this is just what the ride the movie takes you on. And it's really, really fun.
This is the reason why you don't tell the movie, because it's like, okay, we got to put this person's body in this body because they're trying to get away by infusing their souls into the puppets because they're like, we'll live forever. It's the worst thing in the world, but
best thing in the world.
It is the worst thing in the world to explain.
Yes.
It is the best thing in the world, though, because how else do you explain later the massive RV fight with the oven between those two, which is my favorite scene.
Yes.
I'm glad you set all that up, because literally I was like, okay, I got to set up why these people are this way, and you did it perfectly, so now I don't have to. But the RV fight is like so good. First of all, put the doll in the oven.
Brilliant.
Well,
like, it's one of the things where, like, that was one of the first fights
where they actually treated the dolls like dolls in the sense of how they went about them. And then the dolls also acted like Yoda in the prequel as far as like how they went back at them. Like, it felt like a very like, am I wrong watching it? It is a very physics in the sense of like, this is what somebody would do with a little doll attacking it.
They're not going to pretend. Star Wars reference.
You know what I mean? Like, just throw it in the oven. You're not going to pretend like this is a formidable thing. It's almost laughable. So it's just like when you would have like an angry, like wild kid trying to attack you. Put it in a small box. Put it on a shelf. I loved that about this, is it really treated them like the tiny inanimate objects it was, even though they could kill them.
Yes.
And I loved that fight. Very physical, very funny. But and give it up for the puppeteers. That those were puppets. That was not CGI with those moves. They were literally throwing these dolls.
Yeah, they had about, I think, like seven people managing each of the puppets. It was incredible.
With the visual effects artists, too, like they really treated it like a visual effects shoot in the sense like this would have been just like as if they didn't have anything that was going to be rotoscoped over.
Yeah, and I love that you brought up that scene because it's really when everything comes together and you really hear Brad Dourif and Jennifer Tilly having a blast during this scene because that's when they actually, this is after they have the puppet sex and they make love or whatever. Yeah. And then she gets really mad at him, right? And she does that whole monologue where she's like, fuck Martha Stewart. And then she ends with, take it from me, honey. Plastic is no substitute for a nice hunk of wood. So good.
What are you doing? Ah! What would Martha Stewart say?
Fuck Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart can kiss my shiny plastic butt. Here I am slaving away over a hot stove, making cookies, making Swedish meatballs, and for what? For a man who doesn't appreciate me. For a man who can't even wash one fucking dish. For a man who isn't even a man at all, where it counts if you get my drift. Take it from me, honey. Plastic is no substitute for a nice hunk of wood.
Yeah, the lines in this movie, the lines like, in this they really smart, do take turns. And I thought that was a genius move by the creators of this, is that you have these now these two dolls and you could very easily just have them both be these, you know, malignant entities that are just possessed and are just evil. And they are. They have that evil bent. They're both very obsessed with serial killing, but they have distinct personalities and they're different from one another. And that adds a spice to it. And so the scene you're talking about that leads up to it is where we have the two guys. So we have Chucky, who's kind of got a gun on Jesse. And then we have Tiffany, who's got a knife to or whatever to Jade. And they're both sort of taking hostages, but they're also kind of just, we need to do some girl talk. We need to do some boy talk. And it ends up kind of
turning
into the relationship.
Yeah.
And then the toss in the oven's amazing because it's an homage sort of to Gremlins where you throw a gremlin into the microwave. There's also another great Star Wars reference in this.
Which one?
It's where Chucky is just, look, he's a fun guy for a night, ladies.
Yeah.
Okay. He's not a long-term boyfriend because he's obsessed with himself. And so when Tiffany tells him, I love you, he says, I know. And it's like the most evil, demented Han Solo.
Oh my
Empire
God.
Strikes
yeah.
back before he goes into the, you know, the ice chamber, you know.
Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't even think about that.
This is it.
I love you, Chucky.
I know.
We belong together forever. Kiss me.
Because the way he says it, it doesn't hit the same way at all.
And that's the
part.
Sorry,
I'm literally like, oh my God, that is a Star Wars reference. And it's funny that I mentioned it at that time because I'm just putting it in a different unintentional stuff. But the literal fights I do think are great when they show these full body humans really fighting these dolls. The only time I've ever really seen that done outside of The Force Awakens, Attack of the Clones. Yeah, the first prequel. Only other thing I will add to, I love that even in 1998, we establish that women are fed up with toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Like, even in this movie, even though it was written and directed by men, it clearly, there had to have been some women that punched up this script because the anger, the exhaustion, and the frustration that Jennifer Tilly is talking about as a doll in this movie is the same thing that litters my FYP page of, like, these housewives who have husbands that, like, won't empty the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand it. I grew up in a house like that, and my house is completely different than that. In fact, I am the incompetent husband. Like, I am the one.
Well, yeah, because you're playing with your Barbies all the time.
Like, exactly. No, I mean, but like, literally, I'm the person that's like, let's just get a maid. Like, I don't want to do this. But this is the same thing. An inequality, him focusing on his dreams and not really taking care. This is like real couple stuff that they're actually talking about in this absurdist manner, but that's why it hits.
And it's so cool that this is the fourth entry into the franchise. Yes. And that it's completely different than anything we've seen before, right? That's what's so great about Don Mancini and why he's so beloved by us horror nerds. Mm. That, you know, he started this franchise with a completely unique idea of like the doll, my buddy, coming into life. And then he continued it. But he's like, you know what? I think Chucky needs a girlfriend. And because that's what happens in life. Like, he actually gave his little toy a storyline to continue and even have kids.
And he showed how toxic that would probably be, given all of the things that this person did before then. Or maybe he hired a writer that could realize, like, hey, on his first murder rampage, we can't make this just hugs and kisses. This needs to be a struggle.
It really is like a relationship that you're trying to form into something meaningful, because everybody longs to be with somebody, right?
Yeah.
And so, and you have interests, and you know, I enjoy sports and I enjoy sleeping. Those are my interests. I like dogs too. So I'm pretty easy to please. With Tiffany and with Chucky, Charles Lee Ray, the serial killer who died and then his spirit possessed the doll of Chucky, they both love killing.
Yeah.
They're so obsessed with it to the point where even their friends around them are like, hey, I'm not ready to kill yet. I'm like, I'm into this God stuff. I'm not ready to be a mass murderer.
Yeah.
They found each other, and God bless Tiffany for trying to make it work. But you just can't, you can't get through to Charles Lee Ray.
No.
You can't do it.
Not at first. Not at first.
Well, no,
you got to have the like every good rom-com, there's going to be the grand declaration. And this grand declaration is pretty up there. When he finally does say, you know, I want to be with you and propose, that is like, like, well, that is lift me up where we belong. That is Richard Gere.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's when Tiffany actually kills the couple.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
and
yes.
like throws the bottle at the ceiling mirror.
Yep, yep.
And then all of these shards of glass kill the couple. And then Chucky gets so impressed. He's like, I love you. And that's when they start having sex.
Yes. When they start having sex.
So demented.
Gross. But it's
some
amazing.
Fun
amazing.
Kills in this movie.
There are some fun kills in this movie.
I thought the chief of police played by John Ritter kill was pretty fun, because we get it sort of twice. And because he just gets a face full of nails, and then
turns
they
into
throw
Pinhead.
Him
into
he turns into Hellraiser.
And
so he just gets tossed into this sort of trunk in the back of the RV, but then he comes back because he's the chief of police, damn it, and he's John Ritter, and we booked John Ritter for this. We're gonna give him one more scene.
I mean, of course you have to. Also, this is such a movie that's like a horror head. It's not even an Easter egg. It's more of like, this is just for you. That's just for them. That Pinhead thing is just for the horror heads.
And the Bride of Frankenstein stuff.
Yeah.
It's another one of my favorite scenes, is where Chucky ends up murdering Jennifer Tilly's human version of Tiffany. Because she's in the bath. She's enjoying it. She's having champagne. She's got Chucky locked up.
She's crying to Bride of Frankenstein, actually.
Yes.
And
she's watching Bride of Frankenstein, and we're seeing that it's just so clearly communicated, and not in a way that it's ripping off Bride of Frankenstein. No. It's paying homage, but it's also updating it for this generation. And I thought it was really well done. And as I talk about this movie, I'm sort of more impressed with the comedic genius of it. It's a very dark take, but it's really, really funny stuff.
And I think the reason what we're glossing over, it's a very broad comedy. Every single one of the laughs, these are like right up there with like Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber type, you know, really broad laughter. And I think maybe at the time, and I'm not saying this is what Tim said or whatever, I think critics just can't think that there's a great, really incredible movie, which is surprising, because you know who he borrows this kind of stuff from? Like Preston Sturges. Charlie Chaplin. That's really what this is. These are like really like old school vaudeville techniques, literally, that they're using to now really sort of tell this different story. But underneath all of that, if you took all the sight gags off of it, it's a pretty good emotional character arc underneath here.
There really is. And if you look at, you know, is this the best in the series? I can't really speak to that. I haven't seen every movie in the series.
Definitely not.
But I will say it was a huge step forward for representation, because this is back again in 98, and you have an LGBTQ bent like years before this was sort of in mainstream media at all. I mean, you have Alexis Arquette is in the movie.
Yep, definitely.
You have just a lot of overtones and a lot of shades.
And David,
of
the
progress.
Character is also queer.
And
nobody asks anything. Like Katherine Heigl's character just talks to him about it. Like it's normal, right?
Yeah.
Like it should be. And so it definitely
for
the 90s.
This was back when they just passed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You couldn't literally talk about that stuff in the military. So it's like,
when you look at it now, it looks like, oh, of course, at the time, very progressive. But it was also horror, a place where you can be very progressive.
And I think that the movie that's coming up that we're also, you know, sort of getting geared up to go enjoy in theaters, because these are the fun horror movies to go see in a theater. Mm. Like I've always said, horror movies and comedies, two best opening weekends to see at a movie theater, because the audience is either laughing together or scared, or in the case of A Bride of Chucky, probably both.
Yeah.
You get some cool kills, you get a lot of laughs. I think Megan is going to be sort of in that mold where you have some comedic moments because it's just so absurd, but you also have some actual scares in it. Dorina, you've seen Megan. What do you think as far as holding up to the lineage of A Bride of Chucky?
You know, it reminded me, I'm a huge fan of Akilah Cooper's Malignant. Mm. I think it was one of the funniest horror movies to come out recently. And so I had high hopes for Megan, and it's not as funny as Malignant, but it had some incredible moments that I think really paid homage to Child's Play. And and also kind of actually the reboot with Mark Hamill that came out a couple of years ago that focused more on the HAL 9000, like AI version of it.
Yeah.
And so there's so much that writers can play with that. Mm. And so it was, I think a lot of people are going to love Megan, the character, and it's going to become not as iconic as Chucky, but I think you're going to see a lot of people dressed up as her for Halloween. I think everybody from girls to the LGBT community is going to want to be Megan and is going to want to be friends with her. And I just thought it was a lot of fun. And Allison Williams is great in it. She plays this super, crazy character because she's an engineer that's building, this creepy doll that's basically going to turn into,
a murderer.
Yeah. Exactly.
What
she's going to go on a murderous
what
rampage. So it's, I thought it was really great. I had a lot of fun, and I recommend people go see it, especially if you're a fan of Chucky.
Did y'all see the Rams and Chargers played a couple weeks ago at SoFi Stadium? Not. The halftime show, part of the halftime show was a bunch of Megans at the 50-yard line, all doing like a weird, creepy dance. It was awesome.
The creepy...
it was so cool.
Marketing, like I think Smile reminded us of something that used to be, like they used to do a lot, which was guerrilla marketing. And I think between those two, between both Smile
just has people showing up like at random sporting events and they're just smiling into the camera. And those are like
so
paid
gross.
Actors.
Yeah, and this one, they did that. And then Jason Blum, he dressed up as Megan for their like Christmas party. Well, you saw the film, which is great. I was supposed to go see it last night. Sorry, Blumhouse, if you're watching this now, I was tired. I didn't make it last night, but I'm gonna see you this weekend.
They could be hearing you through the walls.
I mean, they really could. Yeah, they actually at the time of writing, they still are here, but I'm pretty sure they're actually moving out soon.
We get their excess snacks?
No,
because
we don't.
Blumhouse,
they do have good snacks. They're in our building. Yeah,
you know how like as a kid, maybe you get like those boxes of like it's like you know the there's like a little bag of Fritos, a little bag of Doritos. They had king size Paydays and Snickers and Milky Ways that are just in a box. I didn't know that existed.
I mean, when you scare your employees as a measure just to show up there, the least you can do is give them a sugar rush. But I was just about to say to you, Mark, you did the junket for it.
He's
not just a
Megan.
Pretty face, ladies and gentlemen. He does know how to ask the question. So tell us all about your time with the cast of Megan, sir.
Okay.
And did you get to interview Megan?
God, I feel like I'm on NPR now. This is so fun. I did not get to talk to Megan. But when I talked to James Wan and Jason Blum, it was so fun because of something Dorina kind of hit on is with Bride of Chucky, that's more supernatural invading the dolls, right?
Yeah.
It goes back to stuff like The Exorcist where, okay, this is some sort of paranormal thing that's happening and now this spirit has invaded this doll.
Yeah.
But Megan is replacing the supernatural aspect of it with a sort of technological devil.
Yeah.
And that's arguably scarier as a concept because that's where the world is going. It's like we were back in this like spiritual realm, you know, where we thought all the stars were gods or whatever. And now we're starting to move into where we worship technology.
Yep.
So that gets into the doll. And that's, I think I was terrified of The Exorcist. Okay. Because possession is something you can't really prepare for.
Yes.
You know, you can't necessarily like go to the gym and get rid of the devil.
Same thing
it's
with
not
like
that kind of exercise.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, any of those sort of like take your essence and exist without you sort of things, it really cuts to the quick of what humanity is because that's all we have is consciousness. I just want to say too with Megan, I hope it does very, very well because it's also a movie that I think keys in on this whole idea of you know, smart people coming together to make good stuff. The fact that James Wan and Jason Blum now have a partnership after his many years at Warner Brothers. If this movie ends up being successful this weekend, I think it's just more evidence of like Hollywood's a relationship business. And I don't think anybody at Warner Brothers is going to be happy to see their literal golden boy. Think about how many movies that they've had success of in recent years between Sinister, Insidious, Nun, all of that stuff. And in addition to that, also the Aquaman series. Like, this dude is like, there should be wings at WB built off of him. And now he's partnered up with Universal. And that is, this is that first
test. Totally, Jacqueline. And I'm so thankful for Aquaman making billions, because that's how we got Malignant.
That is how we got Malignant. That's how we got all of this. And this is the crazy. We got all of those movies that were under their banner, and now they're going elsewhere. It's going to be very interesting going forward. Think about how big of a success, to your point, Malignant was.
Yeah.
And they could make both of those kind of movies on the cheap, where they cost maybe $5, $10 million, $15 million to make. And apparently, according to my experience, half of that budget goes to the delicious snacks and craft services, because they are second to none here. And I'm not allowed to touch them. I've been reprimanded multiple times. And I do want to give one more shout out to Akilah Cooper, who wrote the Megan and Malignant. And she's just a delight to talk to. I got to meet her at Comic-Con. I think we're all probably circulating at the same party, and just awesome to talk to, really down to earth and a genius when it comes to this stuff. So, okay, fun fact here. As far as the, I didn't realize the Chucky kind of did this well. The Chucky movies did this well at the box office. But if you look at Bride of Chucky, $73 million worldwide. That's off of a budget of $25 million. Wow. So we adjusted those numbers for inflation, but that's pretty impressive stuff. Child's Play came out and was cost $10 million. This is the most recent one in 2019, and it ended up pulling in $44 million. But the original Child's Play, worldwide, adjusted for inflation, $83 million. That is still the breadwinner off a budget of just $9 million. So those Child's Play movies, do we want to keep them coming, Darina?
I'm never gonna be sick of Chucky.
I mean, look,
and the TV show too.
Look, if they keep bringing back Michael Myers, they can keep bringing back Chucky.
Very fair.
This is very true, and they have been
so many times.
So many times. I just have other people. I'd do another Leprechaun movie.
I was gonna ask, what's the horror movie villain that y'all are like, okay, we brought back Michael Myers, Chucky sort of continues to get a TV show or a movie greenlit. Who's the horror movie villain that you think has been shortchanged that we need to get back in the limelight?
I miss Freddy.
You miss Freddy?
Yeah.
I don't.
He's my favorite.
I think he is my favorite. I just think the people that would make it good are not available anymore, and so I don't want to see it made badly. You know what I mean? Like, legit. Like, you know.
Totally. Yeah. But at least one last Robert Englund.
Yes, you can maybe get one last Robert Englund out of it. For me, like, I don't think we need more leprechauns, but the leprechaun is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
That is my personal opinion. Like, without question, that franchise, there are no late innings. There are no late innings with that franchise. It's all a win. It's like Jackass. If you show me a moment when a murderous leprechaun is not funny, I will show you a moment when we don't need to make another leprechaun movie. Just like if you show me a moment where a guy getting kicked in the nuts is not funny, I will tell you we don't need another Jackass. But as long as those things are true.
Yeah. Well, it's like going back to your vaudeville point, right? Like, it's never not funny to see Chucky being kicked.
Yes.
Just like the gremlin in the microwave.
Yeah.
It's just, there's certain, I mean, whatever, the comedy purists over here may disagree with me. I just think there's some unshakable tenets of what will make people laugh. And a murderous leprechaun is one of them.
Yes, I will tell you, not as the best comedian in the world, but I will tell you as a comedian in the world, puppets in the oven always works.
Exactly.
Always good for a laugh. Puppets fighting each other in a grave.
Yes.
Always good for yucks.
Yeah.
And the end of this movie, as Darina so eloquently pointed out, when we do give birth to a new thing, reminded me of the movie It's Alive.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? It's like this killer baby that's attacking people. And the very end of the first It's Alive is like, finally, we got this baby and we ended this demon baby. And the chief gets a call. He's probably not played by John Saxon, but in my head, he is played by John Saxon. He gets a call that, oh no, they discovered another one, like up in Seattle or something.
Oh,
there's another It's Alive baby.
I remember the It's Alive movie. I don't remember the beats of it to your details. Also, I just remembered one. Horror sex comedies.
Oh, yes.
We need more horror sex comedies.
Okay.
I don't know who the villain of that is other than virginity. So I guess that is the next monster I would like to see conquered.
That's a good point, because we've gotten horror more sex dramas, kind of like It Follows, right?
That was basically an STD ghost,
but that was not funny.
Dude, the fact that this guy was paranoid about getting herpes and let that fantasy rain out is just the most hilarious thing in the world.
Okay, look, we're talking about how much we want horror sex comedies. And what do teenagers like to do when they go camping? They like to have sex. And who likes to murder kids when they're camping?
Jason Voorhees.
I'm saying, maybe it's time for Jason Voorhees to get some run. So that is going to do it for Movie Talk here today with not just Bride and Chucky. We got into some Leprechaun. We got into some Megan, which is in theaters now. A lot of fun stuff here. And we also have time for mailbag. So, Brian, hit the music. Clayton Chavez is our big winner here today. Fresh member of the Ketchup crew. Thank you, Clayton, and everybody for enjoying this show on a weekly basis. Clayton writes, Dear Mark and Jacqueline, I don't know why I haven't submitted this yet, and I hope others have before me. 1999's Mystery Men's rating is far too low. At 61%, let alone its audience score 57%, it breaks my heart. This film is underrated and deserves to be talked about. Stacked cast, hilarious, quick-witted, and it proves that 90s superhero films can work. Mystery Men, people, come on. Death Man is dead. This is some serious Dr. Strangelove War Room writing here. Keep making amazing episodes. Thank you, Clayton, for that. Mystery Men, do we have thoughts?
Is this the Donald Glover one?
Ben Stiller.
David Duchovny. Yes. And from Kenan and Kel, right?
I believe so. Dane Cook. We're getting the from Brian. Okay. Dane Cook pops in there.
I will take a look at this. The one I would want
to... Eddie Izzard, I know, is in there.
The one I always get it confused with and the one I would rather go with is The Watch. Because there's two random... you know, Ben Stiller movies that like feel like songs in a different key. And it's The Watch and Mystery Men.
You're going with The Watch over Mystery Men. Okay.
Because they're team ups, you know, trying to fight things. And they're all like a ragtag group, basically.
That's fair.
Like so in my brain, those two movies like are just, you know, Ben Stiller's the lead and he's got a cast of jokes around him trying to do something.
Yeah, I always felt like Mystery Men to me looked like, and again, never seen the movie, but it looked like sort of the last hurrah for like a 90s sort of superhero movie before we had to take it oh so seriously. Yeah. We got the Spider-Man trilogy a couple years later, X-Men, Blade, all in the forefront leading into the MCU. So this was the last, you know, bastion of, hey, remember the Reality Bites guy?
Yeah.
I'm going to make a superhero movie and just have some fun with it. So maybe Mystery Men should be on this show sooner rather than later, as should Darina returning to the show, because you're always great. In person, in studio, virtual, doesn't matter. We love having you. Where can all the kids out there find you?
Thank you for having me. I am, as Mark said earlier, I am one a third of the World Girls, and we literally give things a whirl. So if you're into Jackass or the Try Guys or a sexier version of Mr. Rogers, catch us everywhere on the YouTubes, on the social media. We got a podcast called Bitch Out of Water. We are basically trying to conquer the world by creating fewer incels.
I like that. I think that's nice. Sexier version of Mr. Rogers is a good tagline there.
That's
but
a
he
great
did
one.
Show some skin. I mean, maybe not some skin, but he took some clothes off on the show.
He did.
He didn't have a calendar like the World Girls.
Nobody mentions the fact that every day, just like RuPaul, Mr. Rogers had to get into drag to do the performance.
That's a good point.
Nobody talks about that.
That was a drag sweater.
You guys are the best.
Legitimately, he was Jim Rogers walking in the door. He was Mr. Rogers with that girl. That is drag. That is a heightened performance based on what you appear to be.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I'm with Jacqueline.
I'm in. So check out the World Girls. Jacqueline, by the way, I'll close out the show by saying this. I love that you're in the thick of award season.
Yeah.
And I love seeing you on social media stump for your favorite movie of last year. Jackass Forever. Never stopping.
And I will say all of my, you know, I would say less like-minded critics are very much letting me know really of all the cinema. Like it's kind of a shot in the face of somebody like, you know, in Uritu who spent 10 years working on Bardo that I'm like, yeah, that's cute. Give me the dudes with the nuts.
Hey.
Literally the best opening scene in a movie last year.
Seriously.
Incredible.
Yeah. It was a great cinema. Theatrical experience.
Yeah.
And we're talking about fine cinema on this show. We're talking about Bride of Chucky. We're talking about Jackass Forever.
And we're talking about a good one next week, too. Well, actually, I should say, I don't want to steal Mark's thunder. I want to say again, thank you so much for being here, Dorian. Did we get you a recommendation, though?
No.
Oh, yeah. Give us
a quick recommendation and then we'll sign out.
I believe last time I was here, I recommended Barbarian, which was my favorite movie of last year.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. That made my top 10 off
it
your
did.
Recommendation.
Incredible. So I will recommend an older movie from like 2018, which is one of my favorite horror movies that's very underrated by Panos Cosmatos, starring Nicolas Cage, and that is called Mandy. I recommend it all the time. It's so underrated. It looks, it's a psychedelic trip. It looks beautiful and it's a hilarious It's a very sad and hilarious 80s kind of horror revenge movie. Yeah. Amazing stuff.
Also, great for a rainy day. So I appreciate you giving that since it's raining right here. Thank you again, Adrian. I want to say next week we got Angela's Fallen.
Yes!
I was going to say, because this is the man who I forgive much, and that is Gerard Butler. Not because of 300 either.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're doing Angel is Fallen, but I just like Gerard Butler. I'm somebody that like will defend Geostorm and you know, all of the things that he does.
Geostorm.
He was very hot as the Phantom of the Opera.
That's the reason why. Movie. That is the reason why he has my everlasting affection, is not for 300. It's for Phantom.
He's a hot Phantom of the Opera. I love him as like the down and out kind of cop that's just gritty and breaking the rules. I will say Geostorm is great. For one reason, and one reason only, and you all get to hear that next week on Rotten Tomatoes Is Wrong. Yes. We talk about Angel Has Fallen, the close of the trilogy to the Olympus Has Fallen. I had to remember. And then London Has Fallen. It's the Rise of Skywalker of the Fallen trilogy. So for Darina Arellano, check out the Whirl Girls wherever you do whirly things. Check out Jacqueline Coley and myself on social media. Thank you, everybody, for watching Rotten Tomatoes Is Wrong. Go to RT. Which is RottenTomatoes.com. And you can check out our list, like the Child's Play ranking, all the Blumhouse movies ranked. There's a lot of fun horror movie stuff on there. It's still raining. It's probably raining where you are. So enjoy a horror movie and a couple episodes of Rotten Tomatoes Is Wrong. For Jacqueline, Darina, Brian, Glenn, myself, I, Mark Ellis, wish you adieu. We'll see you next week, Angels.